Good morning. Good morning, friends, and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time in worship, we are glad that you found your way here. You can learn more about how we are church together. Take a look at your bulletin. There's a calendar and announcements in there. And if you have any questions about our life together, don't hesitate to ask someone around you, or an elder will be standing at the communion table following worship today. And don't forget about our hospitality registers there in the pew. Just grab it and sign your name, pass it along. That way we're able to greet one another by name. We have a few announcements this morning. Jen?
Good morning, beautiful people. In just one short week, an awesome group of senior high youth and advisors will be headed to Teresa, New York to work with Rural Rehab Ministries in the North Country, also known as MINC. Many of you have been there before. Please be prepared to support this group in prayer. Our commissioning will be during worship next Sunday before we get into cars and head to Teresa for the week. Following their week of hard work and reflection, this dedicated group will be leading worship once they get back on Sunday, August 11th. So please try to be here to support them too. If you are attending the work project, I have some important information for you, so please see me after worship. Thanks.
Good morning, I'm Eric Vail, and I just want to give you kind of the way that the worship is going to work today and everything else that we're doing today. We're going to have a full day, we're going to have a great day, and it's going to be a blessed day. After worship today is ended, please stay in the sanctuary because we will have a congregational meeting. And the reason for that congregational meeting is that we will conclude the ministry of the Reverend Dr. Melissa DeRosia as pastor of GPC. So again, please stay right after worship for that. After the congregational meeting, please make your way down to the fellowship hall, which is at the end of this hall here, to enjoy a potluck lunch, which is catered by our very own GPC catering company, which all of you are a part of. If you didn't know about the potluck lunch or you did not bring a dish to pass, please don't let that stop you from coming and joining and enjoying the potluck lunch. So everybody's invited regardless if you signed up or you didn't sign up. So please join us. We'll have hot dogs and hamburgers, lots of side dishes, and cold drinks. And to top it off, after lunch, we will have the Lugia's ice cream truck here for delicious ice cream dessert for everybody to enjoy on this nice warm summer day. After the postlude, Melissa will remain in the sanctuary today, so she will not be greeting folks at the door as typical, but she will be greeting and saying hello and goodbye to everybody at the potluck lunch. So again, more reason to stay and enjoy the potluck. Once you've made your way to the fellowship hall, please be seated and wait to be called to go up and get your food and such. We're going to try and keep it as organized as possible. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So kind of just follow everybody's lead. But the biggest thing is, everybody today, just please contemplate, enjoy, and be blessed that we're a part of this wonderful day today. Thank you.
And now, let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We come abounding in thanksgiving.
For in Christ we find in all fullness the holiness, the justice, the hope of God.
We come abounding in thanksgiving.
To feel God's life in us, flowing through our roots in Christ and establishing our faith.
We come abounding in thanksgiving.
To celebrate the mystery of God with us.
Christ who lives fully in us and in whom we fully live.
Let us welcome the one who was sent to make us alive in the fullness of God.
Friends, we know God's calling for our lives, and often we fall short. Let us bring our prayers of confession as we share them together. We do not find it easy to speak of how we do not live as your people, but you invite us to share our weakness and failures with you, inviting God. Tempted to think your salvation is for a select few, we put up barriers for others. Clinging to all you give to us, we are reluctant to share with those in need. Surrounded by evil and violence, we find it easier to close ranks with those just like us, rather than seeking peace and reconciliation for our world. Open our eyes to those all around us. Open our ears to the word of hope you speak to us. Open our spirits to the presence of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who flings wide the open doors of your kingdom, that all might find life with you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask and it will be given to you. God has promised us grace and forgiveness in the love of Jesus Christ. We come home again and be the people God intended. So at this time, I'm going to invite all of the children forward. I'm also going to ask that at any point that I have served as your pastor and you were a child who came forward, you get to come forward today too. So come on down. Hi. Nope, we're going somewhere different today. We're going to come right here. Come forward. Good morning. Can we sit? Good morning. Oh, yay. See, the big kids came too. Thank you. Good morning. Okay, some of the bigger kids who are by the door, your job is to make sure none of the tiny ones escape. You think you can handle that? Okay. I mean, I say it because it's happened before. All right. Thank you. And even the teeny tiny one, it's so good to see you. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm so glad that you are here on this day that has a lot of feelings. There's a lot of joy and celebration in our time together, mainly because, well, there's going to be ice cream. We all get pretty happy about that. And today's also a sad day. Today is my last day as your pastor. And that makes me feel pretty sad to have to say goodbye today, too. But I want to say thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you for coming here in this place, to being open to learning about God's love together, and then going to show that love of God out in the world. And I'm looking at all these faces and all the great ways I have seen each of you take that love out into the world. Some of the big kids behind you, if you want to take a look behind you over there, they have served on work projects and have gone to Jamaica and have helped serve meals at St. Joseph's at Salem. Some of you, I even know, have been here when FoodLink has come to help share food with the hungry. You all are doing such a great job. No matter how tall or small you might be, part of what makes GPC such a special place is we all learn the ways to show God's love. And my hope and prayer is, guess what? You keep doing that. You think you can keep doing that? I got some puzzled looks. I think so. I think you can. Will you pray with me together? You pray however you want to pray. Ready? You can put your hands together. You can put them together this way. You can put your hands up. I just ask that you keep your hands on your own body, and you can keep your eyes open. You can keep them closed. Let's just pray. Ready? We'll use a few words. Dear God, thank you. For your love, help us to always show that love in the world. Amen. All right, I know there are a lot of you here today, which is so good, and I want you to know that you are welcome to stay in worship for as long or as little as you want. The nursery is open. But if you need to get up and move around in the aisles, if you need to whisper or color, you know what? Go right ahead, because I'm glad you're here today, and I'm glad we'll have some ice cream together later, okay? All right, you can go back and find whoever you came to church with today.
going to stay there? It's a good spot.
The first reading of the book of the Holy Bible today is from the Old Testament, from Psalm 138. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called you, you answered me. You increased my strength of soul. All the kings of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth. They shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly, but the haughty he perceives from far away. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve me from the wrath of my enemies. You stretch out your hand, and your right hand delivers me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Thank you.
Our second reading of the word this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." And Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And then he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight, and you say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked. My children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asked for a fish, you would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Well, it seems only fitting that during my last week as your pastor, I would end this time the same way that I began, with a funeral. On my first day in the office 9 years ago, a phone call came letting us know that B. Jackling had died. And so the day before my first Sunday in the pulpit, we celebrated the life of one of the saints here at Gates Presbyterian Church. And I remember how nervous I felt not knowing B, not knowing any of you, and having this incredible honor to share in the stories of the way that God's love flowed through her life. And after the service, someone asked me, "How did you learn to lead funerals the way that you do?" I didn't really have a good answer for them. I mean, the basic outline for a funeral for any worship service is in the Presbyterian Book of Common Worship, and that I did learn in seminary. But like so many aspects of ministry, it really isn't about proper technique or even having the most up-to-date manual of operations, and Amy and Kathy are going to dart eyes at me right now, but when we're Presbyterian, we do love our manuals of operations. I've always believed that what is most important is that we all do our best to connect our hearts to the life and stories of others and to God. So when I celebrate the life of someone, I meet with families, I try to ask questions and encourage them to share the stories, the ways that they experienced God's love flowing through that person. So I suppose my answer now would be that I approach funerals like I do all aspects of ministry,
Whether I'm standing here in the pulpit or at the table or the font, moderating a session meeting in prayer, or serving alongside you in the community. By fostering love for God and our neighbors, my hope is that we will always point to the ways in which God continues to reveal God's self in love in this world. And that's really the heart of our gospel text from Luke this morning. Watching Jesus pray, one of the disciples asks, "Lord, teach me to pray." And I don't think that that disciple was asking for a manual of operations or a book of common worship outlining these proper techniques or even supplying the right words that the disciples for millenniums would then fight about whether or not to say debts, trespasses, or sins. As Amy Jill Levine, a Jewish scholar and professor, points out, the disciples already know how to pray. They're all Jews. They would know the Psalms as well as typical blessings for food, prayers for morning and prayers for evening. Personal and communal prayer remains very much a Jewish tradition. So the disciples aren't looking for the instructions on how to pray. They want to connect with this incredible and intimate relationship that they can see, that they can hear, that they feel within their very being that Jesus has with God. And that shift from the how do we do things to the who, it doesn't always come easy. I get that. I really do. When I was first called to be your pastor, I was 30 years old and barely had 5 years of ministry under my belt. We picked up our two young girls from a place that was known and familiar, and we moved them to somewhere that we had to look up on Google Maps when I first got that call from the pastor nominating committee, because we had no idea where Rochester, New York even was. But Peter Derry was the first to assure us that it's an easy drive, don't worry, most of the time. And there were so many aspects of serving as your pastor when I was in search of the how of ministry. Budgets, specifically budget deficits, staffing transition, membership decline, facility issues, governance models. And with all the engineer types in this congregation, I never came up short of people who were willing to jump right in, identify the problem, and Melissa, here's how to fix them. The temptation, I suppose, is that we can get caught up in these aspects of being church. Sometimes they wear us out, and sometimes they distract us, and sometimes they tempt us to forget. To forget what, or namely who, brought us all together in the first place. So when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, he first points them to the who, to the relationship that is intimate and familial. Father, with just one simple parental phrase, Father, Mother, Creator God, we are reminded that it is the who, that it is God who claims us as God's own. And it's always those words that'll cause a few tears for me to well up in my eyes every time I stand at that font for a baptism. Well, those words and the pain of hitting my head on the cross. But you know, sometimes it takes the proverbial knock upside the head to be reminded that when we belong to God, We have to admit that we cannot do what needs to be done in this world by ourselves. And so when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we name just how desperately we need the gift and the power of the Holy Spirit to somehow be at work in us and through us. That it's not our reign, it's not our kingdom, something we could create for ourselves for which we pray. As Will Willimon wrote, the Lord's Prayer is a lifelong act of bending our lives toward God in the way that God has offered. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come. We have quite enough teaching in the various modes of achieving our will in this world. We build our kingdoms all over the world, and its wreckage is all around us. And sometimes I think that we want church to be a place where we can hide from the wreckage, to even for just a moment to find a time and a space to escape from our fears and our failures, our divisiveness and the pain in this world. We are honest in our praying when we ask God not to bring us to the time of trial or temptation, because it's so tempting to just sit around with other people who are just like us, who would think like us, look like us, share our same assumptions and values and ideas, and no matter how tempting it might be, help us not give in to that sort of way of living in the world or being that kind of church, oh God. And I know, GPC, this is something we've struggled with a lot, even more so in the last couple years, because there is so much anger and cynicism and indifference in our culture today, and it's so tempting to just want our church to reflect the kind of faith that is easy and comfortable for us to believe, except that is not what we pray. And GPC, that is not who you are. I felt called to be your pastor because for decades, you have maintained a commitment to pointing to the ways God's love is at work through the world in mission partnerships. Civil war and genocide destroyed indigenous communities in Guatemala, and you didn't look away. You sent groups of people to build relationships with those who were there and to learn how you could come alongside them. When you learned about a group of churches in Jamaica trying to support a basic school for preschool children and a center for providing education for young men and women vulnerable to human trafficking, a partnership began between our congregation and the churches in Green Island and Negril and Santoy. And a school was built. Many of you know firsthand the effects of poverty and homelessness, hunger, addiction, racism, and homophobia, and it is tempting to turn away, to pretend it isn't happening, but you don't. For decades, you've been committed to educating yourselves, to forming relationships with your neighbors, and serving alongside them to reveal God's love in this world. Makes me wonder if this part of the prayer about temptation should have come before the acknowledgement that no matter how confident we may seem in what we are doing, whether it is doing the best we can to be church in the world today, or doing our jobs, or navigating life transitions, parenting or caring for aging parents, whatever it is, none of us have it figured out. We all come at this with empty hands, asking God for daily provision and care, for bread for forgiveness, for ourselves, for all the times we have fallen short, forgiving and caring for our neighbors. And this kind of prayer is vulnerable. It's when we are laid bare before God and one another. This is a space that, when we are all open to it, helps us to intentionally start again and again each and every day. So 9 years as your pastor, and I still couldn't write a manual of operations for you, Gates Presbyterian Church, or for myself as a pastor, but maybe that's not what any of us really need. I believe what we all need to hear on a daily basis is that no matter how many times we knock, or whatever we seek, whatever name we choose to use for God, we pray the justice we are fighting for. We imagine the kingdom to come, the bread for all to eat so no one goes hungry. The sins we have participated in knowingly or unknowingly, the ones we can barely bring the words to our lips to speak of them. We pray the times that are so difficult, we cannot even imagine that this would be our life, this would be our world. So maybe what we need to hear and see and experience is always the same. That God is holding us close, whispering in our ears, I love you. Are not alone. You are mine. And as we stand at the font and at the table, at the empty grave, wherever we stand in our lives, wherever we find longing to feel closer to the heart of God, may we all remember that it is God who brought us together in the first place. Amen. And so it is such a fitting hymn for us to sing together for everyone born. I know it's in your hymnal. I also know that the version that is in your hymnal omits a verse, like all of the mainline traditions do omit this verse in their hymnal. But we are a more light Presbyterian congregation. We will sing verse 5 as it is printed in the hymn. We're also going to sing the hymn a little differently. In a moment, I'll have you stand, and you'll see there the choir is going to sing verse 1. All of us will sing verse 2. You all be the left today, so left side, because that's my left. So right side, you will sing the right side. Organ side, well, that's you all. But hey, if you really like that verse, sing along too. And then we'll all sing verse 6. Let us stand and sing together. Thank you. may be seated. Wasn't the sermon that was going to get me, it was going to be that verse. And friends, to the one to whom we turn our lives over, he has invited us here. So whoever you are and however you feel and for whatever reason you are here today, come. Come to this feast. Whatever your condition, whatever brokenness and hurt you bear, know that it is our host who teaches, who heals, and who welcomes all. It was our Savior who invited those who trust him to share this feast which he has prepared. And according to the Gospel of Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took the bread and he blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Hallowed be your name, God and Holy Parent of all creation. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forever. You formed a people and called them your children. You delivered us from all forms of evil and destruction and saved us when we have given in to the pull of temptation towards selfishness. We heard the call of the prophets to return to your ways, and we turned away from their truth and their wisdom. Loving us still, you sent grace and forgiveness embodied in the flesh and blood of your Son, Jesus. He taught us there was a chasm of separation, but none of it was going to be so great as to separate us from your love. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, we have all we need to freely love you and our neighbors. So we join our voices with all those who seek you in every time and every place, calling upon you with hope. Holy, 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 God our God, Hosanna in earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who provides the way out of sin and death. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, God of the blessing. You promise that as you give us our daily bread, so you shall feed us with the bread of life for eternity. As we give thanks for Jesus, who is the bread of life, we remember all the ways he filled the hungry, comforted those who mourn, and welcomed all those on the margins of this world to his table. Refusing to let persecution, sin, and death have the final word, he went to the grave. As we remember his life and death, as we come to the table of the resurrection, we speak of that mystery we call faith. Christ died, witnessed to the world. Christ rose, loving God with all that he was. Christ will come, blessing us forever.
Giver of every good and perfect gift, you promise that everyone who asks will receive, everyone who seeks will find, and everyone who knocks the door will be opened. Send your blessing upon those who ask for only what you alone can give. Send your Holy Spirit now upon this bread and this cup, simple gifts from creation, which grace us with your life and upon those who gather around your table. Fed with the finest wheat, may we go forth to fill the lives of all whose emptiness imprisons them. Having tasted this cup of joy, may we bring the sweet honey of hope to those parched by despair and welcomed without question at your table of grace. May we open our hearts to all who have been forsaken by this world. Through Christ, glory and honor, praise and thanksgiving are yours, God of new life, with the Holy Spirit in your holy people, on this first day of the week and in all the days to come. Amen. And so we give thanks that Jesus, having faith in those gathered, brought his friends together around a similar table on the night before he gave himself over to the authorities for his death, so that they might remember and know how God's bread gives strength. He took common bread and he made it holy, just as he takes common people like each and every one of us and makes us holy. To remember, he asks that we repeat this act again and again, and he did so by saying, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." And knowing that we cannot live by bread alone, he took the cup as he did the bread, and he poured it so that we might remember the sight and the sound. And he shared it among us, saying, "This is faith made new. Faith you wouldn't know how to ask for. Faith that will surprise you. Faith that will sustain you. Whenever you drink, do this in remembrance of me." We break bread and we drink from the cup, giving thanks for the love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ, for the promise of new life and our ability to hope anew. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us celebrate together. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never be hungry. Those who believe in me will never thirst. Taste the goodness of God's grace."
Thank you.
Jesus said, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Taste the goodness of God's love."
Generous God, we rejoice in the gifts of grace and faithfulness you offer us in the sacred meal. May we in turn open our lives to be bearers of love wherever we may journey and with whomever we may meet. Amen.
Amen. Having been fed at this table of joy, we are also acutely aware of where there is pain and there is suffering in the world, and as a community committed to praying with and for one another and the world, we bring these prayers of joy, the prayers of concern to one another and to God. If you have a prayer concern you'd like to share, raise your hand and an usher will bring a microphone to you. Please let us know your name and your prayers of joy and concern. Got Larry over here. Here, Helen. It floated away. Go ahead, Barb.
Good morning, Barb Snaith. It's been on my heart this week, but I wanted to ask for prayers for Leo Olson. He's a 2-month little boy that was born premature of a faculty member, and his lungs are not developing. His due date was August 5th. So he's at Golisano right now, so I'm asking for prayers for little Leo. Thank you.
Prayers for Leo. Amy. It'll come on. Prayers for little Mira. Got prayers here? Did we? Oh, there we go.
Hold on.
Are we switching them out, Tom?
I think so. My batteries must have died.
We'll switch. Here we go.
A microphone.
There you go. You well, ask and you shall receive.
I'm asking for prayers for 3 of my friends who have cancer. One, Ralph, has bone cancer and will be going into hospice. One I just shared last night when I had a dinner for my 90th birthday, which was a
happy
joy.
Birthday.
But thank you. But on the downside of that, my friend shared with me that her cancer is back and she has pancreatic cancer. And I have another friend who's been surviving with lung cancer. Her pet name is Patty. So those are 3 of my friends with whom I share their suffering and hope for whatever will happen.
Prayers for those who are suffering from cancer, specifically friends of yours, definitely. Larry.
Morning. Larry Wakeman. Kathy and I have a joy to share. Rob got married last Friday.
Aw, yay.
Love of his life, Cassandra. So.
Prayers of joy for Rob, who is married. I see hands right over here. So they may just pass them around.
Hi, I'm Ron Steinmiller. We have a joy, and we're not going to wake him. But we'd like to introduce Ian Emerson Steinmiller.
Aww.
And I'm so proud that Jared and Katie are the most amazing parents I've seen.
Yay.
Great.
Welcome, little baby Ian and mom and dad.
I'd like to praise God for your ministry here at Gates Presbyterian Church, and also incredibly grateful to God that I was able to serve God with you here.
Amen. Thank you. Other prayers today? Well, let us continue our time of prayer together.
Mother, Father, God of great mercy, lover of all peoples of the earth, your name alone is holy upon our lips, and your sacred mystery is the only defining power in our lives and in this world. Thy kingdom come on earth, grant to thy children throughout the world, and especially the leaders of the nations, the gift of prayerful thought and thoughtful prayer, that following the example of your Son Jesus, we may discern what is right and do it. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us to protect and to provide for all who are hungry and homeless, especially those who are deprived of food and shelter, family and friends, and by the tragedy of war. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us for neglecting to seek peace and pursue it, and finding ourselves in each new crisis more ready to make war than to make peace. We have not loved you with our whole heart and have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Forgive us as we forgive others. Let us not seek revenge but reconciliation. Let us not delight in victory but in justice. Let us not give ourselves up to pride but to prayer. And lead us not into temptation, O God. Be present to all of your children ravaged by war. Be present to those who are killing and those who have been killed. Be present to loved ones of those who are hurting. And deliver us, O God, from our selfish desires to possess and dominate. For it is your kingdom, we pray, for the power and the glory forever. And we say these words again, these words your Son Jesus taught, longing, O God, to be close to you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now continue our time of worship as we receive the morning offering.
Just We know there's claim to share, and none of it seems to matter anymore. Like a comet goes far it as it passes the sun, like a stream that meets a boulder halfway through the wood. Who can say if I've been changed?
Dear Lord, we come to you with grateful hearts for all the blessings you have given us. You have gifted us with many talents that we try to share with others. We are grateful for the time we have had with Melissa to guide us. Please accept these gifts we bring to you today. Guide us to use them wisely to serve you and help others. Amen.
Thank you.
I was told I don't need to do the benediction till later, so that's good.
Please be seated. At this time, I'd like to invite the DeRosier family, Melissa, Matt, Lily, and Nora. Would you come up and join me, please? I told you we were going to get something past you. Melissa, you, Matt, Lily, and Nora joined our GPC worshiping family on Sunday, October 17th, 2010, when you led worship for the first time as our called pastor. Do you remember the title of your first sermon?
No.
More Than Warm Fuzzies. In these nearly 9 years, we have seen you and your ministry lead us to places that have been unique, fun, thought-provoking, and challenging, and always following the path laid out by Jesus for his followers. You have brought us stories from places nearby and far away, while engaging us in the spirit and sense of being there as you walked your faith journey with all of us, as well as with Matt, with Lily, and with Nora. We have also watched your girls grow up in this church community. We talk all the time about GPC family, and the four of you have held such a special place in this family of faith. We have accomplished much in these 9 years together, and there is still more to be accomplished as we walk together, and our walk is never an ending thing. There are still people to meet and to continue to seek out the faith traditions and to always work for peace, for justice, and equality for all of God's people. You will travel to Ann Arbor, Michigan, and become the new called pastor at the Westminster Presbyterian Church, and move into your new home. And Lily and Nora, you will start new schools, and you will meet new friends. Where you will always remember, though, that your GPC family will hold you in our prayers. I asked you, Melissa, your favorite scripture verse, and you responded with the one that so many of us hold close to our hearts. That's Micah 6, verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with our God. And that, friends, is a message to always live by. At this time, would you all please stand, raise your hand, point them towards Melissa, Matt, Lily, and Nora as a symbol of laying on of hands. Melissa, Matt, Lily, and Nora, as you journey onward, may you remember always that our love and appreciation for you are etched on our hearts. Will you know that God gives you and takes you from this place, and to wherever you travel may take you in the future. We praise and we thank you, and God of the journey, we entrust the DeRosier family into your loving care. This we pray in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let all of God's people say, Amen. Amen.
Thank you. Friends, I invite you to be seated. And I call the special congregational meeting of Gates Presbyterian Church to order. Let us pray. Lord God, you have been our dwelling place in all generations, and you give us ways to mark time. And one way is the time that we spend together. We thank you so much for the chapter of the life of Gates Presbyterian Church in which Melissa DeRosa has served as pastor. And we pray as we now do the official part of Melissa's leave-taking that you will touch each one of us powerfully by your Spirit, so that as Melissa leaves, she will have a blessing. And as you stay, you shall be blessed as a congregation as you move forward into the next chapter of your life together. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The clerk of session, Kathy Kuhn, serves as secretary for the meeting. Is there a quorum present? I will ask Kathy to read the call of the meeting.
Special meeting of the congregation of Gates Presbyterian Church has been called and announced by the session to be held today, July 28th, for the purpose of hearing and acting upon the request of Reverend Melissa DeRosa for the dissolution of the pastoral relationship between herself and this congregation.
Thank you. At this time, I welcome Melissa to make any remarks that she would like to make at this time.
I don't know that I have any more remarks to offer without, you know, choking and sobbing, which is why I put them in the sermon. I figured I'd get through that part. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your love and the way in which you show God's love in this world. Keep doing it, Gates Presbyterian Church.
And now I ask the clerk to bring the motion.
Motion is that the congregation of Gates Presbyterian Church join with Reverend Melissa DeRosa in requesting the Presbytery of Genesee Valley to dissolve the pastoral relationship now existing between them, effective today, July 28.
Is there a second to that motion? Thank you. The motion has been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? Then let us move to vote. All those in favor of the motion, please say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, please say no. Thank you, Jan. There is one no. The motion carries. I'm going to ask Mary Cowden, who is the Committee on Ministry Liaison for your church, to come up and make a few comments about what will happen next.
Good morning. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm glad to be working with your congregation as we move forward. God is doing a new thing. Do we not perceive it? My heart goes out to you also because my home church is Third Presbyterian Church, and we are also losing John Wilkinson as our senior pastor. So we are brothers and sisters in discernment. The way forward will start fairly soon in August with a special session meeting. At that meeting, we will be talking about looking at all of the options that exist for the flavor, the particular type of position, of person that you're looking for. And there are a number of different types of pastors, and so you will be looking at the session will be looking at the ins and outs of those various ones. Depending on which one is chosen and how you decide to go forward, we may or may not elect a pastor nominating committee of some sort. Again, that will depend on that decision. And as we do that, then we go forward in terms of doing the process. And the session has as well in hand. I met with them the other night. They are a wonderful, enthusiastic bunch. And I'm looking forward to working with you. Is there anything else that we need to say beyond that? It all depends, is the answer. So thanks and blessings to all of you.
It is my job to say something about our separation ethics policy. And also, I'm going to take a moment of personal privilege here to thank Melissa for her service to the Presbytery. Committee on Ministry, chaired the Committee on Ministry for several years. We figured out fairly early after I got here that giving that job to one person was just insanity. And so we've been working as a team, and I want to thank Melissa for being part of some very effective teams we've had working with our churches. And I will miss you very much myself, as will these folks. It is important for us, even as we say goodbye, to think about what will come next. And it is our hope for each congregation that what happens after a pastor of a good 9 years leaves, that the congregation is able to make a really good relationship bond with the next pastor. And we have some experience over the past couple of centuries that this can be hard. And so most committees on ministry have what they call a separation ethics policy, which is to say that you and Melissa will be continue to be related by friendship and by prayer. But when we finish this litany that we're about to move into, she will no longer be officially your pastor. I understand she can function as your pastor through the picnic. But this is really a time of transition, and we mark it to say that the relationship has changed. Since Melissa and her family will be relocating to Michigan, this will be somewhat different than the partings that you have had with Bob Kaiser and with Carol Ann Strawbridge. But again, It is a necessary transition. And if you need someone to blame, blame the presbytery, because we're used to it. But also realize in so doing that the best way to guarantee a great relationship with future pastoral leaders is to say a great goodbye to your current pastor. If you have any questions about particulars, Mary and I are happy to answer them. At this point, the business of the meeting is concluded, and the minutes of this meeting will be approved by the session at their next meeting. But we do have a formal way of marking the dissolution of this call. So I will ask those who are involved in that to please come forward.
In the Bible, Ecclesiastes 3 states that everything has a time. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven. The Church of Jesus Christ is constantly changing. Our church is changing as well. Babies are born, children grow up, we baptize our children of God. People commit themselves to one another. Loved ones and friends pass away. Newcomers join our community and our church. Others move on to new places and new opportunities. It is important to recognize these times of change and embrace the opportunities they offer to us. Today, we say farewell to one who is leaving our fellowship. On August 29, 2010, the congregation of Gates Presbyterian Church called Melissa DeRosa to serve as our pastor. Today, that comes to an end. I believe you have a handout that was passed along. If not, please respond, "Be present, Lord." Let us pray for the saving presence of our living Lord in your world. Be present, Lord. In this congregation, be present, Lord. In this community, be present, Lord. In this presbytery and the whole church, be present, Lord. In the homes and hearts of all people, be present, Lord.
And let us pray for the mercy of the Lord. Your response will be, "Lord, have mercy." For the work begun but not completed.
Lord, have mercy.
For expectations not met.
Lord, have mercy.
For wounds not healed.
Lord, have mercy.
For gifts not shared.
Lord, have mercy.
For promises not kept.
Let us give thanks for our journey together in this place, for friendships made, for joy celebrated, and for times of nurture and growth. Thanks be to God. For wounds healed, expectations met, gifts given, and promises kept. Thanks be to God. For our fellowship in Jesus Christ, and for the love of God which has sustained us. Thanks be to God.
Do you, the members and friends of Gates Presbyterian Church, release Melissa DeRosa from service as your pastor? Do you, Melissa, recognize and accept the completion of your ministry with this congregation?
I do, with thanks to God.
Let us pray. Loving God, Alpha and Omega, you are both beginning and end. Our endings and our beginnings are rooted in your love. Whether near or far, we are held close by your love and kept safe from any lasting loss. Let our time together end with your blessing. Touch all memories with your grace and peace. Help us to live with courage and gladness in the future you present us. In every time and place, May we offer you our highest and our best. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Alleluia. Amen. Representing the Presbytery of Genesee Valley, I witness these words of thanksgiving, forgiveness, and release. The Presbytery rejoices with you in the ministry you have shared, and we pledge to you continued support and prayer. With thanks to God for the ministry of this congregation and the ministry of God's servant Melissa, and with hope for God's abiding grace in the years to come, this pastoral relationship is now dissolved.
Bye. shortest strands, pointing me in a crooked line. And the less I seek my source for signs and hills, closer I am to thine.